And greetings to the live edition of Stuck Inside These Four Walls. This is, what, episode three, right? Stuck Inside These Four Walls. We did the first two, we recorded them, and then, you know, while we were doing that, we decided, hey, we should do a live version. We put out a poll. The poll said, yes, we need to do a live version. So here we are. We're live, and this is what we're going to do. If you're new to the show, you don't know what's going on. Well, it's four hosts and four rounds of questions. That's what we normally do. However, today, we're going to do it a little bit different because we're going to take your questions. But first, we're going to do one round of questions for ourselves and have a little fun that way. So if you have questions, just hold them for now. And by the time we get done with our first round, then we'll start taking your questions and we'll have some fun with those. And who knows, maybe we'll be here for, you know, 45 minutes, an hour. Let's just get this, we'll get it started. And yeah, and we'll have some fun with this. Okay. But first of all, I'm Tom Pugnati. I've got my buddy, Andy Nichols. Andy, what's going on?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world, beautiful people.
Right. And not too far from Andy, we've got our buddy Joe Mayo, Mean Mr. Mayo, over at the Mean Mr. Mayo YouTube channel. What's going on, Joe?
Oh, I'm just excited to do this. Having a good day and pumped up.
All right. And far, far, far to the east of Joe and Andy, we've got, or is it far, 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 far from the west from our buddy Beatley Tone? We've got our buddy Tone here from the Beatley Tone YouTube channel. Tone, my friend, it's good to see you. What's going on?
It's pretty much the same. It's a Sunday afternoon here. It's been quite sunny today. And I'm also really excited about doing a live show with you guys. So hi everyone that's out there, and hi to you three.
Wait a minute. Why is it sunny there and it's rainy? And
we have the London weather here, Joe.
I don't know.
We do.
It's supposed to be the other way around.
Yeah,
it's been nonstop raining all week, and today it's been quite nice.
You deserve it, then,
Joe. A quick question: How many John songs did Ken Daschau play on Breakfast with the Beatles this morning?
Oh, I didn't listen to any Breakfast with the Beatles this morning.
Oh, I thought you might have.
No. But yeah, well, you told me about the other day. You've turned it on. Yeah. You got Let It Be, and maybe I'm amazed.
Right? Yeah.
Well, we need to change that. We need to all email Ken Daschau and say, hey, look, we want more John Lennon led vocals.
Hey, right, Joe.
Hey, I like that. I like that.
Anyways,
just you know, at least as much as Ringo.
Yeah. You know, at least one or two songs in the first hour. You know, you shouldn't have to wait for the second hour to hear
the damn. Yeah, you get four Georges to win Ringo.
And then when you get John, you'll just get Imagine. And that'll be
what they did. That's what they did in my video, right? Yeah. He played Imagine. And then, you know, I didn't say, he followed it up with Girl. Won it right after Imagine.
Deep cut.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's not bad. Now, if you're just joining us, as we've been on for a couple minutes now, we are going to do one round. We're normal, like we would during our regular show. And then I want you guys to hold your questions until the end of that round, and then we'll start taking your questions. So James, you know, that's a big topic of discussion, your question there. So why don't you hold that question, and we'll save that. But type it in when we're done with our first round. Now, also, if you are new and haven't watched this yet, please hit that subscribe button, hit that bell so you can be notified when other videos are posted. Now, Andy, Beatley Tone, Joe Mayo, I believe, Joe, you started the last episode. Now, I believe, Tone, it is your turn to start. So we're going to go with you, my friend. Go ahead and start your first question.
Okay, so my first question is fairly simple on the face of it, but because it's one of my questions, it's obviously got a little bit of a complication in it. So I want you to pick your best Beatles single, 45, and you can include American singles that weren't released elsewhere. But you've got to it's got to be a combination of the A and the B side. So what is the best actual single in considering the A side and the B side? So if you can imagine you were maybe, you know, marking each side of the single out of five, you know, what would be your top single that gets 10 or 9 or whatever?
So basically make up your ultimate single out of all the A and B sides.
No. It's got to be an actual single that was released. But which one is the best with the A and the B side?
A and B double great, yeah, side.
You might think it like, say, Hey Jude and Revolution. No, those are that's your best single.
Yeah, it's easy enough. Come on, man. Let's go.
You're giving both those songs 5 out of 5.
Easy.
Oh, okay. So what's our favorite single?
But not just the A side, you've got to include the B side as well. Best combination.
Questions get tougher as we go along.
Yeah, well. Do I go first, Tom?
Yes, you are first.
I'm going to have to just say Penny Lane and Strawberry Fields Forever. that might be an obvious choice, but AA, that's got to be the one for me.
And I am in total agreement. I am taking Strawberry Fields, Penny Lane Forever as well. I think both are very unique. Both are very creative. Both are revolutionary, in my opinion. And both songs are a knockout. Joe?
Sorry to be boring, but I concur. Strawberry Fields, Penny Lane, always my favorite choice of that. First thing that popped in my head, a whole new style for the Beatles, a whole new direction. Classic, both sides, all the way through.
And I agree as well.
That was the easy one.
I was thinking maybe Hey Jude with Revolution.
Yeah.
They're both 5 out of 5s. Something and Come Together, both 5 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
I think on reflection, Strawberry Fields is just so groundbreaking.
I was waiting to hear Lady Madonna in the Inner Light from somebody.
And, you know, what's interesting, too, the fact that they're both, like, just singles at the time. You know, they're just singles, not like the album track.
Right.
Mm.
Okay. All right. Okay. Good question, Andy? Tone. My turn?
Yeah, Andy, you are next, my friend.
Okay. It's a fun one, and I've got to give a shout-out to my buddy Tommy Panico, who gave me this suggestion and question because he listened to the first two episodes. So this is his question, so credit to him, which I'm going to pinch it for this one. If you could pick one song to be in the studio from start to finish, which one would you pick? Mind Games, Too Many People, Isn't It a Pity, or It Don't Come Easy? Over to Thomas.
Mind Games, Isn't It a Pity. Well, scratch those two out. although I do like Mind Games a lot. But, you know, Too Many People.
Yeah.
Love that song. Yeah, I think it's... Lyrically, I think it's interesting because we all know what he's doing now. I'll go with Too Many People.
Okay, Joe.
All good choices, but I'll pick Mind Games just because it's John, an opportunity to spend time with John in the studio. So there you go.
Tone.
Yeah, that was a consideration for me, but I would say out of the four, I think my favourite song out of the four would be Isn't It Pity? And to be in the studio with all that great cacophony of musicians would be very interesting, I think. And we could actually find out if Billy White did as much as he says he does.
Well, Bobby Whitlock, right? Yeah.
Whitlock.
All right. Good choice. I'll round it out. I'm going to go with Mind Games. I would want to be any chance to see John in the studio. I would be just to see that song evolve and knowing how it evolved from that Make Love Not War piano demo from 1970-ish and seeing how it evolved into Mind Games. I'd love to see that song worked on, and it's one of my favorites of his. So that would be my choice. That was my question.
Okay. Very good, Andy. Now, my question. Now, we talk about the differences between what we think is our favorite, but what we think is the best, right? We have our opinions on that. Now, and I'm going to incorporate that into this question because, you know, instrumentals for me is not always my favorite thing. However, you know, some of them have some good ones. Now, I want to ask you guys, what is your favorite and what do you think is the best Paul McCartney instrumental? Joe, sorry we have to lead off with you.
You always ask these thought-provoking questions that I got to think about. I don't want to just say that the first thing comes to my mind. I tell you, you know, this is not the best choice, I guess, but the first one that came to mind, an instrumental I love that gets no respect, is Frozen Jap off McCartney 2.
Okay.
And I really like that. I like the different directions it takes. I like that it does have sort of an Asian feel to it, which is kind of why he went for that title. He was going to call it Crystalline Fuji or something like that, he said. Mm-hmm. But also the fact that he's working, to see him, you know, him working on it himself and, you know, putting all that effort into it by himself is interesting to me. So was that the question?
What is your favorite and what do you think the best instrumentals are?
Oh, the favorite and the best. All right, so that's probably my favorite that came in mind, but I'm trying to think. We're going real quick down all of these. I guess I can't come up with you. Now you said at the beginning, Joe holds us up, right? This is why, because like he needs an answer. That's a favorite.
Think, man. You got 50,000 records behind you that you should know backwards and forwards.
Wait a minute. I can't, you know, Paul's instrumentals don't blow me away, really. I mean, I like a lot of them on, you know, with McCartney and stuff, but the best instrumental, I guess, Joe, how about Sing Along Junk? Best instrumental. Ooh,
good shout. Okay. Very good choice.
Good
shout.
Yes.
Tone. this is difficult because I'm not a big fan of instrumentals, but there are that I really like. Mama Miss America is one of them and Sing Along Junk is another. But I think my favorite and the one that I think is the best is Luke, First Indian on the Moon. I just think I just love how it moves around. The bass in it is just fantastic. The drums, everything about it is great. It's an instrumental that I actually love, and there aren't that many of those, so I'm going to go for that one.
Okay. Very good. Andy?
A little bit oddball. My favorite one, Tone's going to laugh when I say this because he's going to get the reference. Most of us Yanks don't understand unless you know the show. But I'm going to go with Wings' cover version of Crossroads, which ends Venus and Mars, which is their take on the UK television show, which I actually think they used that theme to close the show out for a couple of seasons. It's corny, but they did, Tone, right?
What they did was, so the original theme was written by a guy called Tony Hatch, who writes a lot of TV themes, and they did this kind of rock version that we know on Venus and Mars. But what they did on the program, it's a soap opera, right? So whenever it left on a real sort of cliffhanger or a really dramatic ending, they would play the Wings version, right? And when it was just an ordinary ending, they just play the normal piano version, the Tony Hatch version.
Right.
So that's when I'm not sure when they stopped using it, but that whenever it was like a dramatic episode, that's when it would play. And that, you know, it was a kind of a, you know, a tea time show. It was on when everyone was eating their dinner sort of thing.
And the in-joke being lonely old people watch Crossroads, right?
Yeah, I love that song and how it merges into Crossroads.
Thank you for the explanation. I knew that would do a little context. But Crossroads is my favorite. But his best, I got to agree with Joe, Sing Along Junk. I think Sing Along Junk is his best instrumental, in my opinion.
Yeah, very good. Now, everybody knows that's familiar with the show is I'm unapologetically love Carina Kaur. That is my favorite.
Glad you didn't ask worst.
Yeah.
But it's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I agree with Joe and Andy. I think Sing Along Junk is just fantastic. He plays everything perfectly on that thing, on that song. So I agree. It's for me, it's Sing Along Junk. So,
and I love Lunchbox Odd Socks. I also love that.
Ah, yes. Yeah,
he's got quite a few. I know you're not big into them, Tom, but his instrumentals are pretty are good. Honorable mention goes to Front Parlor from McCartney 2. I love that one as well.
When the Wind Is Blowing is beautiful, but then he also, you know, says it a couple times during the song, so I don't necessarily, anytime there's any kind of, you know, talking or vocal instrumental, I don't consider it a instrumental. So there you go. Okay, everybody out there, that was the first round, right? You didn't go yet? That's right, Joe. You got it. Your question.
Although I really was hoping you'd skip because I got a lousy question. I can't think of these. Anyway, my question is very simple. It should be fast. It's basically if you could pick one of these two tracks to be released, have a nice, strong release, and the other one is like definitely, out of the two, the other one will definitely not ever be released.
Okay.
Which one would you pick at least? One of them is Carnival of Light, and the other one is A Now and Then. Or Then and Now? Now and Then. Which one would you say, no, I want this one to come out for sure and that one never to come out?
Okay. Cool. Tone?
Well, I think I'm going to go for Now and Then. I've heard Carnival of Light, but I'm not sure sure whether it's the real thing or not. But anyone that's heard it or claims to have heard it says it's dreadful, and you know it just goes on and on, and you know you don't want to hear it. So Now and Then.
Okay, Andy,
good choice. I'm going to agree with Tone. Now and Then. There's a couple of versions floating out there of some Frankenstein recreated versions of Now and Then in the style of Freeze a Bird in Real Love, and it's really interesting, totally bogus, but it gives you an idea of what that song would have been had the other three, you know, had they completed it. And it's pretty interesting. Just YouTube search it. It's pretty interesting to hear what they took John's demo and kind of Beatlefied it. You know, all this talk about all this AI stuff, right? They did this over, you know, probably 10 years ago. And it's interesting to see if that would have been the third. So I would go net with Now and Then. If they actually ended up doing three reunion songs, I would have chosen Now and Then.
And I'll agree with that. Now and Then, I think, is the choice right there. I mean we've heard, you know, bad things about Carnival Light, that, you know, it's and George blocked it, right? I would imagine from, I think that was the story from Anthology.
He didn't want Now and Then either, though, right?
No, he didn't. Is so funny, because the guy, they all got together for the Anthology to help George out, and he's saying don't do this and do this and don't do that. It's just interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Now and Then, I would really like to hear a finished version of that, whether or not Paul finishes it or...
He
or
says he's going to. He said it on that documentary with that Jeff Lynne. He goes...
He also said that the medley on Memory Almost Full was his first since Abbey Road, too. Wow. You know, so,
Well, I think given the 50th anniversary of Red Rover Speedway now... In the conscience of everybody's minds, I think he knows that he did another medley, because you know, he did talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, but Joe, we'll finish.
I went into this preparing to say Carnival of Light, but listening to you three guys now, I've changed my vote to Now and Then. I never really care about Carnival of Light. I hear it's trash, it's garbage. It's not even, who cares?
Right.
But I should have worded it. Should have, could have, would have. I should have said, well, which one would you want them to fix, like maybe take the original Carnival Light and enhance and do more with it, or Now and Then, maybe. But I'll go with Now and Then. The more I think about it, I thought Carnival Light's a Beatle track, at least, even though it's god awful, they say.
Well, listen, if Paul really wanted it out, he'd put it out. You know, he'd figure out a way to release it. So, and there we go.
It's a very democratic thing, and the Beatles is very democratic. If anyone, if Ringo didn't like it,
except when Klein came into the picture.
Yeah. Yeah, except anyway, that. Right.
Good question, Joe. So now it's up to you, okay. The fans, the listeners, the watchers, however you are, want to participate during this broadcast. Now it's up to you. Now, if you put a question in earlier, as I said, save it, and now go ahead and start writing your questions now.
There's a good one. It's a good one from Canadian Stud Muffin. If you zoom up, I think.
Hold on, I'll highlight it. Give me a minute.
While everybody's putting their questions in, I want to
go back and try to go back in order of who wrote submitted first. But we'll just throw up Canadians first here. What Beatles-related album were you looking most forward to, but disappointed in the most?
Good question.
Oh wow.
Beatles related, so obviously that could be solo too, right? I would think, right? Because I wasn't around for the Beatles.
I'll start, and for me, it was Off the Ground. I mean, that was the first time I was really disappointed with an album that I listened to, you know, in real time. And also, well, here he goes, Kenny and Stubmuffin said solo. So yeah, right off the bat for me, it was Off the Ground. And now I've come solo. I've come to appreciate it more these days. However, it's still not something I go back and listen to a lot. So Joe, go ahead.
Joe, I had Live at the Star Club in my mind, and then he says solo. Okay, so
you could say that. He said Beatles related.
Yeah, but I thought, okay. All right, if it's anything goes, I you know.
I painted it with solo, though, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, if you want me to do solo, I really, you know, again, okay. I'd have to think about it. What was I really disappointed?
Should we come back to you?
Well, Driving Rain. Driving Rain, I was looking forward to, and when it first came out, it was Thriving Pain. So I gave two answers. Beatles, Live in Hamburg, you know, Live at the Star Club was a disappointment. And,
okay.
Tone? Well,
yeah, for me, McCartney 2 was really disappointing release. Really looking forward to, you know, a Paul solo album. The first one that had come out while I'd actually been a fan. And it just disappointed me. There's too many instrumentals on it for me that don't go anywhere. And, you know, just really, even now, still only a handful of songs that I like on that album.
Mm. McCartney 2.
McCartney 2.
Mm.
Hi, Larry.
For me, I'm going to go Driving Rain as well. As Joe said, after the hugeness of Flaming Pie, you know, the bar was really high. And that Tom, I know, played the hell out of this too when it came out. But it's you know, I think upon 20-plus years reflection, it was a little bit disappointing after Flaming Pie. Beatle-wise, I'm going to go with the Hollywood Bowl re-release that came out in 2016 on record, because I hate what they did with that whole project. They basically ignored the 1977 release and just changed the artwork. The improved tracks are great, but I hate what they did with that album, calling it 8 days a week and everything else, and using that image. That totally ruined what Capitol and the brilliant artist at the time was, I think, Roy Kohara for Capitol, did for that Hollywood Bowl project when the album came out. So that was very disappointing. And the film was, you know, disgraziad as well.
And that Hollywood Bowl album was so exciting when it first came out, because we've never had
Oh, yeah, that was exciting.
A proper Beatles
first one.
Right, in 77,
It was like only like a year after I'd become a fan. So exciting. But that, I mean, they did wonders with that, the sound on that 8 days a week. But I get what you're saying about acting and changing the tracks and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Let's go back to the top here.
All right. Go to Tony D. That would be the start of it. And the question is, which Macca songs from the
here we
the
go. Century, here we go.
Think? All right. So starting with Tony here, which Macca songs from this century would be hits if they got the radio play he got in the 70s? For me, right off the top, I'm thinking New.
How about whoever thinks of it first? If somebody needs time, they can.
New for me, I think, was fresh and exciting, very commercial in my opinion. So I'm gonna.
I'll agree with that.
Okay.
I'll say Queenie Eye.
Yeah.
I think New is a good one. It is really poppy. Jenny Wren, I think, could have been a good single, you know, if it had been promoted properly. And I don't know, I think, as well.
Ever Present Past.
Off of Egypt Station is a fantastic song, which would have made a good single if promoted properly. Both of those have been good.
Fine Line.
English Fine Day, Line. Maybe.
Maybe.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Tony.
The next one after that.
Tony, let me put her up
Here. Richard McCook.
Hold on.
Oh, I saw that. That was a good question.
Okay. Yeah. Richard asks, if you were to make a 4-track EP of solo Beatles non-album B-sides, one from each Beatle, what 4 tracks would you pick and what would be the lead-off track?
Wow.
Takes time to think.
That one.
So,
non-album B-side. Go ahead, Tom. You're up.
B-sides. Yeah, non-album B-side. So I'd probably take Girl School. Probably take Miss Odell. I guess you would take early 1970 from Ringo, and then from John.
Not too many.
No, Yoko's
Move over Miss L.
Move over Miss L.
Yeah, move over Miss L. So that's what would be my 4, and I think. My lead off track would probably be, I guess, Girl School, just because it's you know, a little more serious. It's a rocker. So maybe I would go with that.
Tone? Joe?
I mean, just whatever comes to mind. I need proper time to really plan it nice. I would say, for John, it would have to be, you'd have to put Move Over Mizell on there.
Right,
because there's not many. A Woman, Oh Why. Girl School. One by each. Deep Blue. Let's do Stand By Me. Deep Blue by George. I'll go over to Girl School. Forget about that. Forget about the other one. And Ringo, I like Down and Out. As far as which one would lead it off, I think I'd lead off with Girl School out of that, those 4. Girl School, Deep Blue.
Right.
Move Over, Michelle, Down and Out.
Okay.
Okay, so I think we're unanimous in the fact that we've only really got Move Over, Michelle to choose from if it's a John track as a B side and an album B side. Paul, it would have to be Girls' School. Ringo, I would go for early 1970. And George, I'm going to go for Deep Blue. I think the lead-off track, I think what Richard's asking here is which is probably the most commercial. I think it'd be Girls' School.
Okay. Well, yeah, good lead off. I would lead off with Move Over Michelle. Paul, I would pull I'll Give You a Ring from the B side and Take It Away and get that on there. And I'd go Miss Odell in early 1970 myself for George and Ringo.
Okay. All right. Next up would be Harry after Richard.
Hold on. Let's scroll into the comments here. Harry, I'm looking.
It's right after Richard's question that we just set up.
It's not there anymore.
Okay, if Paul formed Wings as a supergroup, who would you like to see in the band?
Hold on, I'm looking.
Okay.
Yeah. A supergroup.
Yeah.
Oh, there. Okay, wait a minute. There it is now. Okay.
What's the definition of supergroup?
Does that mean we have to pick up best lineup of Wings?
Yeah, I mean.
All right, at the time,
You got to think about that. At the time, you know, 1971. I mean, who was available for Paul to invite into a new band?
Eric Clapton, John Bonham. How's that? I don't know like that.
Well, Bonham was already in a band.
I can't do this off the fly. This is silly.
I mean, John and Paul were friends. You know, so you never know. He did do rock as well.
They can't be in a band otherwise already. I don't know.
I mean, you may be. I mean, for a drummer, if they're thinking 1971, I'll go for a drummer, Alan White. I think Alan White would have been a good drummer for Wings, because he did a lot of work with John and George anyway before joining Yes. I think Alan would have been a good member of Wings. Joe Cocker, maybe?
Interesting. Interesting. Tone, any thoughts on that?
But I think you've got to kind of think about the material that Paul was writing at that time. So, you know, I mean, you probably can't get a better drummer than John Bonham, but it probably wouldn't have suited that sort of music. I'd probably go on drums, Steve Gadd. I'd go for fantastic, fantastic drummer. Who could we have on lead guitar? It would be good. Are we allowed to nick people from other bands?
That's what I mean.
Yeah, sure.
Pete Townsend. Pete Townsend.
Yeah, just look at Rockestra. Just look at the Rockestra lineup. There you go.
Yeah.
Keyboards and Ian McCagan from Small Faces.
Small Faces, sure. All right.
Put Steve Miller in there. Take him out of the Steve Miller band.
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, Steve, I don't think he hit his popular stride at that point in time in 71.
What was it, more 73-ish, 72?
Four, five.
Yeah, you know, I think, Steve was a great guitar player. We know that they were friends, right? So, or they were at least knew each other. And drummer-wise, I like Alan White. I think, Andy, I think you made a good point with White. You know, I would make it a trio. I mean, right there. I mean, Steve White and McCartney. I mean, what more do you need?
Yeah. You know? That's a good way to start.
All right. Yeah.
Let's jump to this next question because it's a hotbed one here. Right. The AI stuff. Have you? I have heard the AI stuff.
Yeah.
Ooh, freaky, and I don't like it. And I don't actually think it sounds that much like it. Certain parts of the songs, yes, but. I'm not like, oh my God, it's 1965 Paul McCartney. I'm not convinced. It doesn't sound that great.
I haven't heard those two, but the ones I heard were, what was it, My Valentine and Beautiful Boy. Paul singing Beautiful Boy, I heard. Yeah. That's the two that I've heard. And I don't like this trend at all.
No.
I've been, people keep sending me stuff. And I refuse to listen to it. I have no interest in this whatsoever. Now, if you guys are watching and if you like it and you're enjoying it, I'm happy to hear that. For me, I want to listen to Paul on a record. I don't even like the deep fake that they use in movies. Oh, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've talked about this before. You know, especially with the the Irishman, how they they de-aged Pacino and De Niro and
right.
Good movie, but that whole technique, the only time it really worked for me was The Curious Case of Benjamin Button with Brad Pitt. We started off with a very old man, and then that moved the story along. But the AI thing, I have no interest whatsoever in. And that's just the way it is.
It's like that thing with the video. Remember the video that came out last year with whoever it was? That was just creepy. I didn't like it. Tone?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I haven't heard No. But I did hear Paul's vocals on Beautiful Boy, which was absolutely horrible. I hated it. But I absolutely loved I Don't Know. I thought it's
right. That's a problem.
It sounded fantastic. I mean, you know, you've got to take it for what it is, but I think it really sort of
that's the thing, Tone. I don't think people are going to do that.
No, I know, but we are. But we are, you know.
Yeah,
it's a young person's thing, no? I don't know. We kind of understand that.
Yeah, more degradation for the new generation.
I did
really like the I Don't Know version, but I've heard a few.
Yeah,
people doing God Only Knows. I think it was rubbish. loads of There's a few that have been absolutely.
Which are they really perfected?
That one, yeah. I really like. I don't know. I like that one.
Let's go back to Edward had a bunch of questions all related to like 69 and Paul's dead. Let me just go back and kind of he threw a lot of comments in, but let's just get this all done in here. Going back to 69, when clues of Paul's death on records, do you think it was deliberately put in and why?
I think it was all coincidence. I don't know necessarily believe that they're all done deliberately. I mean, you look at all the clues, right? And they. I don't, you know, we know the what the officially pronounced dead. We know that's, or that wasn't even right. I mean, what was that? The OP
something police. OPP?
Yeah,
right. We know the license OPP. Plate. The license plate wouldn't have been accurate. 28 if that wouldn't have been. That's not accurate. No, I don't think they were all done deliberately.
And crossing Abbey Road barefoot, we know now there's so many sessions. And sometimes he's got the sandals on, sometimes they're off. Right. He kicked them on, he kicked them off, put them on.
Mm. The best thing is that the bare feet being a sign of a corpse is not even true, because people get buried with their shoes on. They don't get buried.
Yeah, I think we've had this question, because I remember talking about
last time, didn't we?
Revolution 9 was the only one at the time that I said backwards, turn me on, dead man sounded like that might have been like created. But overall, I don't believe any of these so-called clues were deliberate or to have fun or make people think or anything.
No.
Okay.
Not a clue.
And agree, it's all coincidental, and I don't buy any of that crap. So, well, for that one, here's a good one. If there was one question you could ask John Lennon now, what would it be? And now, Joe, I know you could do this. Come on.
No, I can't do this. I could never do this. You know, it cracks me up because I just came from a convention meeting some celebrities, and I can't think what the heck to say to them. I would never. I'd have to think about that too. I'd have to sleep on it. But I should know. I don't know.
It's ask John Lennon now. So assuming that John was still with us, you would, you know, not then. If it was 2023 and John was here, what would you ask him?
It's not
I'd
now and then, it's just now.
I've got an answer for that.
Well, you must, I can't.
We'll circle back to you, Tone.
My answer would be, it's a great question, by the way. My answer would be, when's the new album out?
Very good, very good. Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, what would you really want to ask him? I mean, you know.
I have to really think of it.
He already was asked, you know, so many times, you know, the Beatle questions. I mean, I would ask him about new music, probably.
New music, or something about his own solo career and touring, whatever, you know. I would ask him something about it. Definitely his solo work.
That's the best I could do, because I always thought that whenever if I was to meet any of these people and had a chance, I would try to beef up the career apart from the Beatles.
Right.
And I'd ask, I really like, you know, this album or, you know, Walls and Bridges or something. Right. How did you come up with, you know, something?
You could just say, you know.
I would ask a solo related question.
You could say what my dad said to him, which was thanks for the music and just keep walking by.
Hey, I said, thanks, he said to him. Thanks for the memories to Richard Dreyfuss. I got a smile out of him anyway.
Right.
What else you going to say?
You know what? I would, you know, there was the, you know, Joe, you talked about this before about, you know, he had said that, made the comment that Lost Weekend, he coined it that, right?
Right.
I would ask him about that. Do you really, maybe, you know, do you think it was really that long? I mean, you know, something like that, that he's had time to reflect on, and then get his, you know, thoughts now on something like that from the past. But a good question.
Here's a Tone, you're going to say something?
No.
Okay.
I was just reading the comments.
Andrew's got a good question here. What's your most precious piece of Beatles-related memorabilia and why? I have a signed pen and ink doodle by John from the 1969 bed, and that is mine. Wow, that's very cool. I have a personalized autographed copy of The Space Within Us from Paul, from him to me, on DVD, and that would be mine.
I forget. How did you get that again?
a buddy of mine got it for me.
That's great. That's fantastic. Well, for me, I'm going to say, you know, I always say this. I got a Paul McCartney autograph. You know, John Hamill, his assistant, took the thing and brought it into the hotel for Paul to sign, and it was returned to me. So that's probably my, you know, is it memorabilia? I consider it memorabilia. Yeah. So that's my most precious piece.
I go, Tom?
My suitcase.
I've got a signed by Paul Electric Arguments album.
That's right.
And and the High in the Clouds book signed by him. So I went queued up and met him twice. So I've got those.
One, only once you're allowed.
I've been amazingly lucky to have met him three times. And
Oh, wow. I didn't even know this. I know this. I forgot.
Have you not seen my video on it?
I guess not. I don't know. There's a lot of videos out there. I don't know.
I saw it.
The third time I met him was just unbelievable. He was just standing right in front of me at the Gare du Nord station, which is the Eurostar station in Paris. Him and Stella. I was on my phone like this. And I've just looked up, and he's literally just standing right in front of me.
Yeah.
Tomas?
If you want to watch the video, you can see the photo.
Oh, it's a good one, Joe. Check it out.
Well, where is it? How old is it?
It's on my channel. It's one of my early ones. It's actually a two-parter, which covers
I don't remember seeing that one. I've got to find it. Lead me to it, and I'll do it.
Yeah. Oh, I'll
and for my partner in crime, it's his suitcase, right?
Suitcase? Why not?
I mean, you're not serious.
No, I mean, unfortunately, I don't have. Unfortunately, I don't have the autograph. You know, like that you guys have. You know, so I'd have to pick. You know, there's just so many trinkets or books or.
I want it. I want it.
You know,
I don't consider having it either. I want it. I want a one-on-one moment. That's
right.
Could we?
Oh yeah, of course.
Could we just pull up Russ's comment at the bottom?
Sure. Where is it at, Tone?
It's at 5:41. It's not a question. It's just his memorabilia. I think
you mean?
This one here. This one.
Yeah. Was it?
Authenticated too.
I like Ollie's question.
Give me a timestamp, please.
Going up.
Where'd it go?
Oh, is it 12:24? Is that the one about marrying?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. Snog.
Okay. Snog, marry, avoid.
Snog means
so
kiss.
Snog would I guess mean oh, sex.
Snog means what?
Kiss.
Oh, okay.
Oh, a kiss? Okay. Kiss, marry, avoid. Cynthia, Marie, and Patty.
Can I say avoid and marry for Cynthia? Both?
I'm not going to answer this question.
I'm going to marry Cynthia, right? I'm going to avoid Patty, believe it or not, because she'd be all over with these guys, apparently. Well, same thing for Maureen. I saw kiss Maureen. I don't know.
Yeah.
Make out with Maureen.
Interesting. Yeah, I'd make out with. Maureen. I love how exotic Maureen has looked at points in times. You know, during the '60s. In early 70s. So I probably Maureen, snog, avoid Cynthia, and I'll marry Patty. I don't care.
I want to know why Yoko's not in the list.
That's a good question.
There would be a void. That's why.
Oh, God. All right. Moving on. Tone, did you want to answer this one?
Okay. avoid Cynthia.
Dollars dishwater.
It's not Patty, marry Maureen. There you go.
Okay.
All right.
Why do you think Paul neglected Wings after they broke up? If you think they did or not, Tom.
Well, we kind of touched on this, right? Paul has said it. Linda has said it. How she, you know, they felt that Paul was being held back by members of Wings. I mean, I think Linda said that during the Playboy interview. Paul has said that on an interview as well. I think it just all stems from the little riff they had with Denny at that time during the early 80s. You know, so I don't necessarily think that Paul means that he was held back by every member of Wings, because, you know, there was some very talented members in that band. But again, he's the kind of person that when something's done, he just moves on and goes to the next game.
Yeah,
and
that's it.
You know, I think that's it.
Plus, he's too cheap to pay them, so. No, I'm just being funny. I honestly, well, that's true. But I think that's the reason. Yeah, he always moves on. Why repeat that, you know? And he's Paul McCartney. I mean, he does all kinds of, he doesn't even do the Beatles. He didn't go back to the Beatles even, you know.
Yeah. Tone, right. You got any thoughts?
I think that he was just ready to move on. I think he was fed up with kind of ever-changing lineups and stuff like that, and I think that he probably thought that you know, that he could, it would be more interesting to play with other musicians, and when he didn't involve other musicians, he could do what they did just as well, or if not better. I think that he was ready to try something different.
I think, I agree, spot on. Like Tom's saying, when he's moving on to the next thing, it's like you could apply that same question at the end of the Beatles. He neglected the Beatles because he was diving into Wings. Wings ended, and he was on to his next thing. So, yeah. I you know, the Denny stuff, as Tom mentioned, didn't help at the time, and apparently, then they are good friends. Somebody put it in the comments down here. They are good now.
They're good now.
It's over 40 years ago. With so it's all water under the bridge. So, yeah, let's get to another question. Here's an interesting one. The White Album is a beer album for this lad who I think is watching in Germany. He likes to drink a good lager listening to it. What is your favorite drink for your favorite Beatles album?
Oh wow!
these days all I drink is water. So I don't drink anything else. So I can't say.
Yeah, Tomas.
Well, yeah. I mean, being a beer guy myself, I mean, there's times, and then, you know, whiskey from time to time. I mean, yeah, give me a cold Sam Adams and a good Beatles or solo Beatles record, and I'm good to go.
Doesn't matter what album, right? You just got your drink of choice, and you're ready.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
Tone. You're a musician. Come on.
Hi, Armin. Right. What album is a beer album? I think I agree with that. I'm going to go with. I'll go with a brandy with Rubber Soul.
I'm going to go with arsenic. When I'm listening to Driving Rain. No, Old Wave. I should have said Old Wave because for the record, get it? I can listen to and enjoy some things on Driving Rain now.
I take a glass of red wine. You know, when I'm listening to music, I'm listening to music. But if I'll take a glass of red wine and Abbey Road, what's wrong with that?
Right.
Okay. I think I saw another question I wanted to get to.
Well, real quick, you know, with going back to Lee saying that Denny claims him and Paul are fine, you know, and he says he's not convinced. But Denny's been getting all of the, you know, the reissues.
He gets them all.
So he gets them all. So I mean, they have to be at least on good terms for him to receive the 300. I'm not the 300, but the 80 singles box set. So.
Yeah, and he's been getting them too. And then there was that great. There was a photo that they took backstage at one of Paul's concerts. Probably close to 10 years ago now. I think it was 2010. You know, Denny saw him. So you know, I think that they're fine. Just trying to go back up and get some questions that we missed. Hold on. Just bear with us now and then. Oh, yeah, here's one. Okay, this is a question from What's the Gym? Hey guys, hope you're well. Which Beatles album do you want to be remixed the most? For me, it's Rubber Soul, and obviously we're getting that at the end of the year. So,
Do
you think? You know, what do you think? Which one would you want to see remixed? The early stuff.
Rubber Soul is the obvious choice, I think. But I'm a big fan of With the Beatles, so that's the one personally I'm looking to see. I would like to get that to get mixed and see the maybe some instruments brought up more, drums and stuff, and if K can with the new technology, and vocals more center, not
right. Mm. I think the later albums that were all done over the last 5-6 years since Sgt. Pepper have been great. They're the iconic albums that everybody knows, most people know the Beatles for. I think when the early stuff gets done again, you're going to see a whole new wave of appreciation early stuff. Because Pepper, White Album, Abbey Road, Let It Be, those are iconic albums and everybody knows them. But so much attention is not paid to the early stuff. And I think when they all get remixed, you're going to go, oh my God, you know, what a great song, you know, Don't Bother Me is, Not a Second Time. Things like that, you know?
I really hope so. That sounds good.
I mean, I think, you know, I think we assume it's going to be Rubber Soul because they seem to be now in a position where they're working backwards. But from purely selfish reasons, I mean, Rubber Soul is my favourite album left to be remixed. But from a selfish point of view, I'd like to see a 1963 anniversary box coming out around the time of the 60th anniversary of With the Beatles that includes a remix of Please Please Me and With the Beatles. And that will be the model going forward because they'd be able to do a 1964 box with Hard Day's Night and Beatles for Sale and a 65 box with Help and Rubber Soul in the next, you know, 3 years. And then we'd be done. We'd have the remixes of everything. So I'm hoping that they're going to go that way and we get two albums for the price of one.
Yes.
No, I know. I want them individually. Sorry, fellas. Treated the same way they treat all the other albums.
But Joe, do you think as we get into the earlier albums, do you think that they should also include the US versions as well in the box?
The Capitol things and things like that?
Rubber Soul if Rubber Soul comes out this year, do you think they should add the US Rubber Soul?
They issued it already.
Yeah, no.
They also issued Abbey Road. I mean, all of these and Rubber Soul in 2009. You know what I mean? So, I mean, as they're going to remix all of these earlier ones, I mean, you can also just throw in the U.S. version as well as just an extra disc.
As an extra, they might do that, but we know that some of these they've been very skimpy with the bonus discs of having 4 or 5 tracks as an EP. And
I just want every album to get its own box, like everything else, and a lot of extras.
My former leg right here. That's all you need for the U.S. stuff is. And honestly, the 2004s. Or if you want them actually as they were heard, you need the 2004 and 2006.
Yeah, 2014. Throw that in the garbage. Take the good outer box.
It was to
put your old 2004 discs in.
Because that 2014 one was such a missed opportunity. They just used the 2009 mixes and resequenced them the way that the American albums are, and that was a horrible way to do that. They did not use those original mixes that were done from the 60s like they did. So.
But I should say this, which I did. The sleeves for the 2014
are better. Yes, they are better.
Take the physical discs out of 2004, put them in the 2014 sleeves, and then in the U.S. flag box.
It's nice because you got Hey Jude. Okay, to get Hey Jude on CD finally was nice. The Beatles story, things like that. If that tickles your fancy, but what a missed opportunity. But those 04, 06 ones. Do you have those, Tone?
No, I don't, and that's why I'd welcome them. So
you don't?
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no, I'd welcome them. Going back to the early albums, though, Joe, when you're saying about individual boxes, I think that for, you know, the first couple of albums, there's going to be less outtakes and sessions.
Why do people say that? A lot of fans say that because that's because of what we know on the market, so bootleg market, they don't have them all.
Well, I always think that what's included on an anthology is kind of a decent, you know, gives you a decent clue of what is about. But when you think about how quickly, you know, Please Please Me was released, you know, the 10 tracks done in a day. I mean, did they keep a lot of that stuff, or did they keep recording?
I don't know. Well, there's like a lot of takes of us sort of standing there. There's like six takes of Misery. But I'm just saying, so, you know, can't they put out like the remastered, obviously, the album, remaster the album, remix, whatever you do. Put out whatever outtakes you want to put out that you can find. And then there's other things, maybe some, I don't know, live tracks, a book, you know, put the book out. You could, I'm not overwhelmed or blown over by the stuff that's on most of these outtakes, believe it or not, on these box sets. I mean, in quantity wise.
I agree. I mean,
quality wise, I like a lot of it.
Right.
But I don't think it's a
selling point for me is the remix.
Definitely. Yeah. Here's a good quote, Tom.
A good stereo mix of these.
Yeah.
Really of the cool. Early ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would be most welcome. Here's a good one from Russ. What's your favorite bootleg solo and Beatles that you own? Now, not everybody's into bootlegs. I know Tom's not.
I know Tom's not. No, I don't know if you have any.
I'll just go with the only one I really have, and that's Return to Pepperland.
Well. Okay. Tone?
I'm not a big bootleg guy either. I've got a couple of box sets called Beatles Mythology, which came out sort of after the anthology. I think there's three volumes of it, and I've got two of them which cover the mid period and the late period, and they're probably my favorites. I don't really have that much solo bootlegs. I've got the Manson McCartney one, which is had all the Flower and the Dirt sort of demos and some live stuff on it as well, but I think most of that has pretty much come out now on official release anyway.
It has. Joe?
Well, Beatles wise, the unsurpassed masters, there's all kinds of different names for those now.
Yeah.
Ultra rare tracks, they were originally called, you know, when they went in and got the beautiful quality right off the masters.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. There's also was a good album called Broadcasts, a BBC album. It's kind of moot now, but as a standalone vinyl album, Broadcasts was the BBC Broadcasts. Is a good album from like 1980, I think. And then solo, this is totally useless now.
Yep. But
at the time, the Lost McCartney album, McCartney 2.
From McCartney 2, yeah,
it's got four sides here.
Well, you horse riders, I know you play that to death.
Well, you know, I rather hear that than some of his other stuff, to tell you the truth. Oh, you horse riders.
I'm going to go with solo. Go ahead, Tom.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say the question to go to next afterwards.
Mine would be Last Flight, the classic Wings live bootleg from the one of the final shows that the Vigitone label put out, which I'm not, you know, we're not, you know, supportive, but there's some bootlegs that were made so well. And Last Flight is definitely, and we even members of Wings know about it. With Juber talks about it. So it's the Last Flight bootleg for me. Beatles, I'd say the unsurpassed masters, as Joe said, was a revelation to hear those as a kid in the night, grabbing all those up, and you know, in the 90s, and they were not cheap to get those individual discs. You know, now you've got everything online that you want. Unsurpassed masters, white album, Asher demos, a ton of stuff. I mean, the Holy Grail is that 80, the AB thing you have, Tom, right? The freaking the Let It Be sessions thing you have, whatever that box set is that you have, or do you have it digitally? The whole, the 83 CD thing you always talk about.
Well, that's you're right. That I should have said that. Yeah, it's the 83 disc of you know, starting at Twickenham,
right,
and moving on to you know, Apple Studios. Yeah, the whole month.
God.
I don't think I could ever find.
I'd rather listen to electronic that. Sounds and the two versions of listening to that sometimes.
Yeah,
that's a bit much.
I can't take that stuff.
What the gym towards the bottom?
Okay, let's go back to the bottom. Gym. Oh, with the gym.
Yeah.
Do you think Paul should release another studio album, and do you think Ringo should release another EP? Here we go, Joe.
Yes, Paul should do as many studio albums as he can. He should even take a break from touring and just concentrate on the best vocals he can do for more albums that will stand for his legacy, because that's what you remember in the future. You have the music, the albums, the tours are nice, yeah. But you know, I gotta have that. As far as Ringo, of course, the more the merrier from both of them. I don't see, and I know that Andy concurs with Ringo that there should be lots of stuff. The more the merrier. I don't see any reason why, you know, why.
Listen, not. I bought a Ringo record store on record store day. I bought it. I bought Stop and Smell the Roses because it's classic Ringo.
Right. Yes, and I agree. Both of them should release as many albums or EPs as they want to or can. And yes.
Yeah. Tone.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. If he's got songs that he wants to record, then you know we should hear them. So yeah, love to see more work from Paul. I'd still kind of like one more tour.
UK and you know around Europe, I can definitely understand why you guys would want one more tour because we've been getting them all through the States.
You met Paul three times. That's better than 12, 12 tours.
Well, good one, Joe.
I guess so. But,
that's a good. That could have been a good question. Well,
yeah,
I'd rather meet Paul or go to a tour.
Yeah, so. Yeah, one more tour would be good. I'd like to see two more studio albums from Paul. And Ringo, you know, Ringo stuff. We don't really expect too much from Ringo.
If he's
making EPs, then great. But you know, It's not something that I relish. If I'm absolutely honest, I don't really relish a Ringo release like I would a Paul release.
Well, I'd rather it be John and George, but.
Yeah,
cool. You know they're not here. So.
I think more Paul albums and Ringo full albums. Yeah, just stop the EP nonsense. If Ringo was to put out a couple more albums, I'd charge $15 for four songs. Yeah, I'd support it. It's just it's the EP thing that I'm down. I'm not saying don't make new albums. You know, I've got them. His recent stuff. Why not? And Postcards and. Well, I bought those, but the EP thing just is a big turnoff for me. That's all. Tony's got a good question here. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has a category for Sidemen of Rock. Do you think Wings deserves a spot there? Yes. Sidemen of Rock? Yes. The Wings members should be in there.
Sidemen of Rock.
They have a category, he says.
Why not? Everybody, put them in. I don't care. Everybody, the Hall of Fame's a joke. Everybody's in.
It is.
Put them in.
Don't.
Yeah, I mean, well, as I've said before, the Hall of Fame is not really a big thing over here. So you know, yeah, why not? Why not put them in? Although I don't know, I still like to think of Wings as a band and not Paul with Sidemen. But that's just me.
Tom.
I mean, if the E Street Band can be in there, then you know, why not? Why not Wings? Sure. I mean, I'm not going to say that they're not a band because obviously they were a band. They played on those records, right? I mean, and those were, and not that hit records is a criteria, but I mean, these were big records that they played on, right? And so, you know, Ken, you know, the guys at Things We Said Today had Denny Seiwell on, recently, and Denny Seiwell said something that I agree with. I mean, at the end of the day, Paul McCartney is writing those checks or signing those checks, you know. So it can be a demographic if you think that he thinks it is, but at the end of the day, it's still Paul McCartney signing those checks.
I'll say this much: do not put Wings in until you put the Monkees in.
Next question. Which Mac LP cover is your favorite?
I actually have one, actually.
What's your favorite album? I'll go say Venus and Mars, I'll say.
Oh.
Mine, I always say Red Rose Speedway for a cover. But what I really like best is the McCartney album. The back cover, really. Yeah. You know, so... Yeah. If we can pick that, I'll pick that.
Okay. Tone?
Yeah, Venus and Mars for me. Ah. I think Larry did a video on this.
Black with two dots.
I think he picked Venus and Mars as well.
Yeah, I think he did.
It's a classy cover.
Yes, very much. Very classy cover. Yeah. Thomas?
I mean, I don't even
don't say memory almost full.
No, 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 no. I mean, we did this like a couple years ago, didn't we? Where we ranked our favorites.
He might not have heard it.
And I don't even remember what I picked. Right now, I mean, look, I mean, you can't deny how awesome the Band on the Run cover is. I mean, it's fantastic.
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
You know, it tells you what the album is. You know, without you know the album title didn't even need to be on there. I'll just go Band on the Run for right now.
Yeah, okay.
See, Ellen agrees with me. That's good.
Ellen agrees on the McCartney cover. There you go.
Front cover is nice too, actually.
Oh, it would have been. I mean, it's what. And I still don't know why he put the cherries on there at the front. I mean, it should have been the.
You know, it ruined it for me when I saw the actual photograph, like what that actually is, the outside shot of a bench or something. You know, kind of kind of ruined it.
Oh, you saw it because you saw it in the when you looked at the McCartney archive. You actually saw the on the bench with the bowl and everything.
You just looked at the pictures, but that's okay.
That's a fact. Love you, Joe. Peace out, Joe.
When it comes to Paul, there's not much depth to read, so that's why.
Honestly, that's not. He's right. He's right because Paul doesn't really dive back into the tracks on these books. He doesn't. Sometimes he does. Any other questions of note? Anybody see in the comments that I might have missed?
There was one that was up there that was talking about whether or not the archive collection should continue.
I don't want to talk about that again.
Of course it should.
Or I'm sorry.
No rebooting. I don't get so emotional over this stuff.
What the Jim said, he recently listened to Egypt Station. Do you think it's the perfect length? To me, the album is 15 minutes too long. Interesting take. Yeah. Do you think it is?
Get rid of Despite Repeated Warnings then, when you said.
But what version did he listen to? Did he listen to the actual one, or did he listen to the one that has the two bonus tracks on it from the Target edition? No, that came out later. The green.
I don't think that album struck me as long though.
It's a little. You're talking about. Of course, I don't have
Driving. Driving Rain again. I'm picking on it a lot. Driving Rain seems long to me.
It is.
I mean. This was the Target one that had the two extra bonus tracks. So if you're talking about that one, then yeah, maybe it might be, a little too long. But because it's got Get Started and Nothing for Free. Now if you were to take those two tracks off, and that one had the red strip on it, not the green.
I'm assuming he's talking about the regular album, no, Jim? Are you?
Well, then if he's talking about that, to be honest with you, I'm really come to hate Despite Repeated Warnings. I wish that would be taken off.
Yeah, I called it.
Album.
There you go.
Tone.
Yeah, it was the flavor of the month.
It's a double album. It is a double album, and I think it's fine. I like it the more. I think
McCartney 3 was the perfect length in terms of a song. Was it? How many tracks on McCartney 3? 11, 12 tracks.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I think Egypt Station is a little bit too long. And Despite Repeating Warnings, I liked it a lot when it first came out. But then he 11 tracks is much more enjoyable.
But you had one 10-minute song on there too. So
true, deep, deep feeling. And how do we? I'm going to just ask this because it's not in here. How do we feel about McCartney 3? Almost three years on.
I love it. I love it still. Yeah.
Go ahead, Tone. What was that?
I was going to say it took me so long to love it, and when it finally dropped with me. I'd still love it. It's my favorite of the three, McCartney albums.
I think it's a latter day classic from Paul. I think the songs are good to very strong, and I don't dislike any tracks on it.
Yeah.
Okay, regular track. Okay.
He was talking about the regular version. Yeah, I think now I have Egypt Station and McCartney 3 like just neck and neck, you know, with some time and distance from them now, almost 5 years from Egypt Station and 3. I kind of have them neck and neck. And I go back and forth on what I like more and what I don't like. I kind of flip-flop with those two a little bit. Yeah. Some days I love hearing Sliding and Seize the Day, you know, but then sometimes I think that Long Tail Wintered Bird goes on for way too long as an opener, you know. And
It's still nice. But,
it is. And Deep Feeling, thank you. You know, is a great track. Initially, I did not like it, but thank you to Dylan Seavey.
Yeah.
I
didn't like it either at first. Now I appreciate it.
It's my favorite track on the album, Matt.
Deep Feeling, Tone?
Yeah. Brilliant.
Good one.
But I still don't care for Deep Down.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that one's got to go.
That's the only one.
I struggle with the sort of the party all night long at 79 years old or 78 years old or whatever he was in that. He's going to party all night long.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he can do that. Go ahead.
Let's start winding it down and let's get one or two more in and then we'll plug some stuff and then we'll get on with our day.
Let me just look. If you guys have any other questions while I'm going through the comments here, go ahead. Here's an interesting
five minute warning, guys.
Did you hear that Paul restarted the Wings Fun Club through his website? Did not know that.
No.
No, I think Ralph mentioned that on the comments on one of my videos, actually, but I didn't know before he said that.
In your video, I saw that you, when you were showing your copy of your half-speed Red Rose Speedway, that they have, and they didn't put the Wings Fun Club stuff at the bottom of it. Yeah.
And I assume that was because it wasn't a thing anymore.
Yeah. That'll be cool. I know that on May 4th, there's going to be a listening party of Red Rose Speedway on Paul's website. So you want to join in with that.
Oh, that reminds me. I still got to listen to that thing again for tomorrow's Talk More Talk.
Oh, my. Like, it's so hard to listen to the record. Guy, you sat in on a panel and talked about it with us. I know you like it. Just say it.
No, I don't like it.
Just say it.
I like a few tracks off it, but.
That's right.
It's not my life on it, Joe.
Fell on me.
Yeah. Let me just keep scrolling back. Let's just do this from Harry's real quick. Name a Denny song you think would be a good A side single for Wings. Deliver Your Children.
Yeah, it was a good B side, but let's try to get Paul
again and again and again.
Yeah. I was just gonna say that because I want to try to keep Paul out of the because you it's pretty much Denny and Paul singing that co-lead on Deliver Your Children in a way, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
But then again, I also love No Words. So I might pick that or Again and Again and Again.
Mm-hmm. Time to Hide is his best song, I think, by a mile. Yeah. By a mile.
Yeah.
But whether it would make a good A-side for a single, probably Again and Again and Again, maybe it's probably the most poppy.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, and the secret agent here at the bottom, he said Larry Stumoffin says he didn't listen to Annie McCartney for about 20 years. Yes, and we had him on to talk about that. And he's asking, have any of us gone through something like that similar with any of the Four or the Beatles? I mean, I know I don't listen to the Beatles anywhere as much as I used to, say, like in my teens and into my 20s. But I think we all sometimes go through a phase to where, we listen to other stuff, but then we always come back.
I tell people this all the time. They don't believe me. I don't listen to the Beatles all the time. I just don't. I can't. I get bored with it. I love the Beatles, the group, But I want to hear solo Beatles more these days,
Yeah, Tom?
Not 20 years, no. But
I'm the same. I listen to solo Beatles more than Beatles purely because there's more.
There's more
things to listen to. With the Beatles, we've only got 13 albums, and a few extra bits, rarities and Hollywood and all this sort of thing. But we've got probably over 100 solo albums between all of them, something like that.
And I think it's good. It's healthy to take breaks because you appreciate their music better. You can't listen. True. Some people listen to it all the time. God bless you, but
no.
I can't. You can't do that. You're going to wear yourself out. So if you take a break for say 6 months or a year, and then you say a release comes out and you get back into the rabbit hole and you listen to them for a few weeks or a bit, you do that. But I've never taken a long break from them. I'm always listening to them.
Like I haven't heard Sgt. Pepper meaning put the album on,
right?
To listen all the way, dedicated, since it came out. What what was that, 2017?
The box set? Yeah, 2017. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
6 years.
Yeah.
Hard to believe. But you hear it everywhere anyway, though, kind of. You hear it
right.
around.
Right.
Yeah. I must admit, though, I've become more Beatly since I've had my channel.
Obviously, yeah.
Even more into it since I've had a channel. But I never had a break like Larry did. I think he dropped out of Tug of War and got in back.
That Marcus Thompson question is very interesting.
I'm going to post it now.
We're gonna end with this right here. Right,
yeah, this will be the last question from Marcus. He doesn't. Marcus says I don't subscribe to this idea, but if you Doubles Fantasy was all John's songs plus his Milk and Honey tracks, where would you rank it in his catalog compared to where it currently ranks? So take just the John material on Doubles Fantasy and Milk and Honey, make it one album, right, which they actually did on that Lennon box set from 1990. The fourth disc has all that material on one disc, which they did for that. For that cup box set, where would you rank it? I'd have it up there. I don't know, Tom.
Yeah, I don't know if it would crack the top three for me because you know with Imagine and Plastic Ono Band and you know and Mind Games has just shot through the roof. You know, for me over the last 10 years, I don't know if it cracks. And I still think Walls and Bridges is a really, really strong record. I don't know if it cracks the top three or four. Those are really good songs. Don't get me wrong, but I just think those other, you know, those albums are a little stronger than what if that, you know, Walls or if Double Fantasy was just a John record. I don't know, but
Tone.
Well, I recently did a John Lennon album ranking video on my channel, and I think I put Double Fantasy as number four, and I don't think by adding the Milk and Honey tracks to it, which are not completed, so we don't hear them in their completed form, I still don't think it gets above Walls and Bridges for me.
Okay.
Joe?
Okay.
Well, I think that, I mean, once in a while I'm interested in the idea of taking that fourth disc from the Lennon box and playing it just when you just want to hear the John songs, and I think that would be a good album of John stuff, but for me, I think, believe it or not, to some people, Double Fantasy is better with the Yoko songs and the John songs. I think it would be a whole different album. It wouldn't be Double Fantasy, for one thing, right?
No.
Because Double Fantasy is the interplay
between
the married couple. So I think Double Fantasy loses something by having all the tracks on there of John. And as Tone said, they're not completed, not the way John necessarily would have wanted them, maybe.
The Milk and Honey tracks. But they still sound, even though they weren't finished, they still, you can listen to Nobody Told Me. That song was done. That song, he had that song done in the can. I you know.
I don't think so. I think it sounds a little, I love it. I enjoy it. It sounds a little rough around the edges to me.
I think
that's part of
the dubs on that. But
yeah, after the fact, yeah. I would put it up there. I think it cracks the top three. I think I would, or at least after Plastic Ono Band, Imagine, and then I'd tie it with Mind Games probably because the material was that good. I would bump it right up, and I'd have an edge out Walls and Bridges too. You know, Beautiful Boy, Woman, Starting Over. You know, he called Woman the Beatle track. You know,
it's funny because those tracks on Double Fantasy, like I said, when it came out and I was a teenager, I didn't really appreciate them as much. I love now the songs that are on Double Fantasy, I think, are among John's best of his whole career.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, except for, well, Dear Yoko is just another knockoff.
Yeah. Right.
Clean up time. I like it.
I think Watching the Wheels and I'm Losing You are as good as anything he ever wrote during his career. With the Milk and Honey songs, the songs on side one, I'm Stepping Out, I Don't Want to Face It, and Nobody Told Me, all great. But the ones on side two, not so good. So I'm
Borrowed Time and Forgive Me, My Little Flower Princess.
Oh, I think Borrowed Time is very good. I just think I don't like Flower Princess. Forget it. You know, that's one.
Realistically, you only really need 10 tracks.
Right.
You know,
for an album.
Yeah.
For an album. You know, so I mean, a couple of those tracks you could still, you know, give them the old hee ho, you know, and you still have a really good, strong record there.
You do. You do. And for the record, I still think Rock and Roll, I think, is actually my favorite John Lennon album, period. The Rock and Roll album.
Really?
Yes. Really? Absolutely. Oh, wow. Yeah, I love that record. I just do. Because it's who John was. John was a rocker at his heart. And
oh, come on.
You hear that. That's it.
What about who he was as a person and all the other albums?
I know. That they're great. But just for pure rock and roll and who John Lennon was, I just, yeah, for me, that's what I go to. So, that all right. So, we'll wrap it up here. So,
all right.
Mr. Talk More Talkers. Yeah, everybody, thank you for those questions. And hopefully we got to all of them. If we didn't, put them in the comments, and we'll reply back, and I'm sure Joe and Tone will do that. But we've got two.
Save them for next time. We need more next time.
Save them for the next live show.
We've got two members of the Talk More Talk solo Beatles video cast on this installment of Stuck Inside These Four Walls, and they've got a live show tomorrow night. Tom, tell us about it.
Tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern time, we'll be discussing the 50th anniversary of Red Rose Speedway. And as we can
wake
see,
up, Joe.
Joe is really looking forward to that show. But it should be a good time. I mean, I know we're all going to have different thoughts on the record. So I'm looking forward to hearing what everybody thought.
Yeah, I'm not brushing up on the second one. I know I heard the second. I like the second two record set even better.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody but I'm not. But I don't have. I mean, I don't know. I don't remember them. I'm not going to play them. Right. I'm just going to do the standard album.
But again, like you said, thank you all for joining us. We really appreciate it. Please hit that thumbs up. We'd really appreciate if you hit that thumbs up. And if you haven't, please subscribe to this YouTube channel as well. Joe, my friend, what do you have going on? What do you got coming up on your YouTube channel?
Well, this morning on my Mean Mr. Mayo channel, I just put up a Chiller Theater Convention video where it has some music star in there, like Melanie is in there. I met Melanie. She was wonderful. And you saw a lot of actors, mostly a movie thing, TV show. Sopranos, a couple of Sopranos actors, as well as Richard Dreyfuss and Tim Matheson. And it was a good video and fun to make, and it's our adventure at the Chiller Show.
Yeah. Nice.
Okay. Very cool. It seemed like it was a good time. I can't wait to watch that video. Beatley Tone, what do you got coming up, brother?
Well, I've got the next video coming up is going to be some difficult to find albums that I've managed to get hold of in the last few weeks. Not Record Store Day stuff. Some other stuff you may remember asking me what I was after. A little while ago, and I've managed to pick those up. So there's that. I'm going to be doing a deep dive review of Red Rose Speedway, which is obviously going to send Joe to sleep. But they're the plans going forward.
Julia, by the way, Julia, I don't know what you're talking about. I never said
don't even.
People are out of their minds. I never said I didn't care who John was.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay. No,
and then Tone, good job with. I liked your Record Store Day. Your thoughts on Record Store Day. That was a good video.
Yeah, and, always love your.
I'm surprised you had all your thoughts.
Yeah,
I didn't catch that. What was that?
I said, even though it was your first one, I'm so kind of surprised that you had all these thoughts and perspectives on it. So good on you for that one. And I also like the HMV box sets.
Oh, the box sets,
Yeah,
well, I thought that might be interesting for people that are not in the UK, because I think they were exclusive to the UK at the time. I thought maybe a lot of people would either forgotten about them or didn't know about them in the first place. So I thought I'd show the ones that I've got and let everyone have a look at what's in there.
Cool. Excellent. And then Andy, for us on two legs.
Well, I got a little something on my own thing I'm working on.
Yeah, Lord, please tell us.
My other channel that I do outside of Two Legs, Andy's Music Vault. It's a small channel that I do for my music that I enjoy outside of the Beatles and Paul, which is many varied stuff. What's that?
It's your solo career.
It's my solo career. Yeah, I recently attended two John Anderson Band Geek concerts here in the New York area, and it was incredible. And a good friend of mine is the drummer of a local kind of New York-based, yes, tribute band called Total Mass Retain. His name is Joe Cass, and I'm going to have him on, and we're going to talk because he was at the concerts I was at, and I'm going to have him on my channel for a little recap of that show as well. And he is actually that's a yes endorsed tribute band, which is pretty cool. So the band actually endorses him and his bands. And he's a good guy. He's a good lad, and you know I enjoy my prog rock a lot outside of Beatles and Paul stuff. So it's a nice way to for me to dive into other stuff to appreciate the 13 Beatle albums more as we discussed. So that's going to be coming out later this week on my own.
Great. And thank you to everybody that catched all of our shows. And then, you know, for Two Legs, all of our Two Legs shows, we just dropped our episode with the great Luca Perazzi and his new latest book, Music is Ideas, which is now in hardcover. Here, let me grab a
hardcover.
Yep.
You know, this is the paperback. The hardcover is now available on Amazon. So if you want to grab the hardcover, it's there now. I'm really looking forward to Andy and I. We got some great shows coming up in May that I'm really looking forward to. One's going to involve an early adventure that John and Paul had together. One is going to involve maybe Mel Evans, and then one's going to relate to a UK and a US album. And I'm not going to say which one yet.
But they're gonna have we're gonna have some friends on for that show.
Yes, we're gonna have some friends. Well, we're gonna have some friends on all three of these shows. So really looking forward to presenting these three episodes that we got coming up in May. So Beely Tone, Joe Mayo, Andy, I'm Tom. As always, everybody out there, thank you very much for watching this live installment of Stuck Inside These Four Walls. We'll be back next month. We'll have a recorded show then. And then depending on how well this does, maybe we'll do another live one here the month after that. We'll talk about it. We'll see. And but you guys were awesome. Thank you for some amazing questions. And we're going to take off and enjoy the rest of the day, everybody. So see you next time.
See ya. Thank you, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.